Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. The Sports Doctor, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness. Right off the top, I want to wish everybody going back to school a safe fall term with all your sports from A to Z. We'll probably mention that each week. We got a great doubleheader today. My fellow National Fitness Hall of Fame members join me. Esther Gutierrez Sloan, she's a native Colombian. She's the president and founder of South Aerobics, Authentic Latin Rhythms and Dance. She's a 2010 inductee. She does South Aerobics locally, nationally, internationally. She'll be joining me. And then a little later, Bill Crawford, the fitness pioneer, consultant, educator, trained by the late Arthur Jones, the inventor of Nautilus and MedX equipment. Bill is a 2012 inductee. He's a founder with his wife, Debbie, numerous basic training centers, and he's worked with pro sports teams, athletes, celebrities. Then it's the Sports Doctors In segment. We'll answer some emails first. Let's jump right in. Welcome Esther Gutierrez Sloan to the Sports Doctor. Esther, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me on your show, and I so look forward to having this amazing conversation and share information that will, I am sure, help all your listeners.
Yeah, you get these people dancing.
In terms of rhythm and dance and movement.
Yes. Esther introduced me, as a matter of fact, in my induction this past late April to this very prestigious National Fitness Hall of Fame. Esther, who has been dancing since she's 4 years old, give or take a few weeks, give us a little bit of background with you and the famous South Aerobics and what you do with that.
Okay, so I am currently, and I'm proud to say this, I'm 66 years old, and it was when I was 35 years old that the idea of South Aerobics came into being. I was ready to change careers, new mom, didn't want to go back to the computer industry, and being that I danced all of my life, because that's what we do culturally in our country, I came up with this idea that why not introduce something that has already been and will never go out of style, which is cultural and dance, into an exercise program.
Yes, the Great Marriage, it's a great title, you know, South Aerobics. Everybody knows aerobics, the importance of movement. And it looks like you've really married, again, this tremendous culture of Latin rhythms and dance with a, you know, really, really fit programs. And I know you do them for children. I know that you do them for seniors groups and in so many different areas. Esther was the recipient in 2010, by the way, of the Keep of the Flame from the International Congress of Salsa, Keeping Salsa Alive. She's had so many numerous awards. So the combination of dancing and aerobics, it's a tremendous workout. So that's really been your focus. With 1988, you started this, right?
Yes, the idea came forth in 1988. So between 1988 and 1989, it was formulating how we presented it. And we produced a videotape that was the introduction of the concept nationwide and internationally, and we incorporated in 1990. And since then, the idea of culture primarily, because I think that when we do something for well-being, if we can have the additional connection of something that will make it more emotional, which dance definitely does, that we become more mindful of what we're doing. And I think that it's a big thing that we have to do as people that are committed to our well-being. We need to be mindful of how we move our bodies, whether it is in a fitness center or whether it is in a group exercise or when we go out walking. And this mindfulness that I have put forth into the culture and the music is brought forth primarily because of our colleague and dear friend, Robert Gaida, with the Total Body Training System.
Yes, the professor, Bob Gaida, my
mentor. So salsa aerobics has a lot of the concepts of mindfulness and proper postural alignment and proper positioning, in addition to the emotional aspect of listening to a song, be it from Spain or Cuba or, you know, Argentina. So I think that the idea of total involvement and total immersion with when we move is a major focus of how we should be, and salsa aerobics addresses that 100%.
Yes, and of course, after we, the sports doctor adds in, strengthen those feet and ankles. If you're going to be a dancer, everybody listening to the sports doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back over 10 years and listen to whatever you would like, see the topics, see who the guests were. You could zip over to newspaper articles and magazines and read on an endless array of topics, including all sorts of information of my book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, specialization for kids, the concern about concussions, so many different topics. And again, we have over 30,000 followers on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter, as well as LinkedIn. And you could follow us. Great information we publish at Sports Doc, DOC Radio. We're talking with Esther Gutierrez Sloan. She is the creator of the famous salsa aerobics. You know, dance and exercise has been something that's really, really been very, very popular. You know, again, you have Zumba, you have other kinds of dancing, step aerobics, et cetera. And the fact that you follow some of these great physical principles, like we were just talking about with our friend, I call him the professor, Bob Gaida, that makes an awful lot of sense, because positioning and structure is so important. Technique is so important, because dancing is physical. And, you know, while we're getting our aerobics, we want to, you know, reduce possibilities of people getting hurt. What's the website, Esther, people can find out about your programs and whatever else you have involving information with salsa aerobics?
The website is www.salsaerobics.com, and the word salsa aerobics is it's a put together word of the word salsa, S-A-L-S-A, which for some of us it means a rhythm, and for some of us it can also mean a great sauce that we can put on our food.
Right.
With the word aerobic. Yeah, right. You can dance it and you can eat it, right? And then we put that word together with the word aerobics. So it's S-A-L-S-A, but we took the letter E out of aerobics, so we did the phonetic pronunciation writing, so it's S-A-L-S-A-R-O-B-I-C-S.com.
Yes, and I see you have, and always have, you taught Montessori, which was my grandchildren have gone to Montessori. It's one of my favorite educational worlds. I see you also have a program for K-8, you know, Fit to Be Me with salsa aerobics.
Yes.
So you pay a lot of attention to the youth and to kids. And, you know, on the Sports Doctor all the time, I'm screaming and ranting and raving about the challenges of childhood obesity. I've been talking about it for 20 years. We're still treading water in so many areas. So it's great to see people like yourself with these great programs paying big attention. I would imagine the kids probably love it.
You know, when I go in with music that is either Caribbean music, straight up reggae, or soca rhythms, or if I go in with Latin tropical music from whether it is Cuba or Puerto Rico, and then the urban Latin pop music that has been born here in the United States, kids love music. It's a no-brainer when I go in with music. Kids want to get up and they want to dance. In the younger age groups, like first, second, and third grade, I can come in with a physical exercise experience that also gives culture and it gives geography, because what I will do is prearrange with the teacher of the classroom so they have world maps out. And I will be talking about, and this song is from Colombia, and Colombia is in South America, and it is in the Western Hemisphere, and the language that we speak is, so it's not only that they're moving, but they are getting a sense of where it's coming from.
And I think that's terrific.
That connection, it's lovely. I will also bring into the classroom different percussion instruments. So now the kids are playing maracas, and they're playing instruments that are called carrascas from Colombia. So it's a total immersion in movement and history and geography and all that goes with a culture. And I think that makes that association a more personal experience for the child that it will not be forgotten.
That's a terrific marriage, you know, adding the educational. That's your vibes of being a teacher all those years.
But absolutely.
Adding, you know, learning about where this music is from and where part of the globe it is, and learning about, especially in our day and age, we don't have to talk about what's going on in our world. The fact that there is that kind of education for children, that's what I always loved about Montessori. I used to walk into Montessori, and there was 500 cultures, it seemed, in the classroom with my kids. I used to say, oh, my gosh, this really should be a part of the answer. So I think that's a terrific, you know, combination. So I guess salsa aerobics, and again, have you ever seen anybody who's dancing who's not having a good time? Who's not smiling? It's hard
exactly.
to find somebody who's not smiling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And, you know, having said that, yesterday I had the privilege and the opportunity. I was invited to go and dance with an organization that is called Camp Hope, which if you Google, you can find out what it's all about. And it's an organization that works with special needs young adults. The gamut of special needs, Down syndrome, autism, and other special needs, and to have the opportunity to dance with this teenage level young adults and
yes.
have them smile and move and just and clap. It's God's gift
yes.
to be able to
now,
do that.
Now, at the
that.
Same time, Esther, there's no downplaying the importance of exercise and movement therapeutically in all of
Correct.
These challenged children, whether it is my friend Suzanne Gray, who's written a couple of books on the value of exercise with the world of autism, or, again, the whole special needs spectrum. The fact of adding fun, movement, and exercise, and I can hear how that's affected you, you know, adding to the joy and the health and the wellness, you know, of these kids. I think that makes a tremendous difference. So the International Salsa Congress, who are they?
So the International Salsa Congress, which started actually here in the Chicagoland area 19 years ago, it's a group that gets together to learn to dance, and primarily is salsa, and the focus is all ages. So coming to the International Salsa Congress for a weekend are children that are 6, 7 years old that belong in a dance group to do exhibitions, all the way to young adults and adults to come in and do salsa dance exhibitions, take salsa dance classes, and come together and network. And it started here, and then it has pretty much grown in different major cities throughout the United States. And this year, there was an international salsa congress in Cuba for the first time. And so it's an experience.
You know, some of the best athletes, Esther, some of the best athletes I've ever seen in the world of sports podiatry and sports medicine have been dancers. I think everybody understands that. You have tremendous athletic ability in all these different areas of competitive dance in so many areas. I'm sure that there's plenty of champions floating around in the world of salsa and the area of salsa aerobics, that great combination. So from 3 to 83, right? Or from 3 to 103.
Absolutely.
People can fit into these situations. And that we only got a couple of minutes left. Were you ever a competitor in the world of salsa, Esther?
No. I've kept it pretty much grits, roots, and social dancing. And I have a lot of respect for the people that take it to the next level of competition. I have chosen to keep it at the level of the fitness aspect and introducing it to people that thought that they could not do it and realize that they can. So my major focus is on when people say, Esther, I have two left feet, I say, and you can dance, you know.
Right.
And I remind people that if we can walk, we can dance, because walking is rhythmic in nature.
That's an interesting point, really, when
so
you think about it.
I can start with somebody that says, I have two left feet, and I put a merengue rhythm, and they walk to the beat of the music. And I say, you're dancing. You're walking your merengue step. So
and everybody can go to their own level, right? People can keep
yes.
within themselves when it comes to that. You know, I can't believe how the time flew by with Esther Gutierrez Sloan. Esther, give me the website again for people to find out about your endless array of programs with the South Aerobics.
It's www.southaerobics.com.
SalsaRobics.com.
Yes.
Esther, it was exciting. I got to have you back. It was a terrific segment. Esther, hold on. Everybody, will be right back. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. Hey, Esther.
Yes.
You were terrific.
Well, that was so it was so exciting. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Thank you so
You're
much.
I know that I cover like 12 different topics in the same, you know, 15 minutes, but you were wonderful. Remember again on Saturday, you will get the replay of the show. You could share it with everybody. We'll see it floating around probably with the National Fitness Hall of Fame, et cetera. So I look forward to having you back. And
I look forward to being back
with you. But thank you so much. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, An Essential Guide for Any Parent with a Child in Sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, Experts Speak Out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We've got Bill Crawford joining us. Bill is a fitness pioneer. He's an educator. He's a consultant. He was trained by the late Arthur Jones, the man who invented the famous Nautilus and MedX equipment. Bill was a 2012 inductee into the National Fitness Hall of Fame. He was the master of ceremonies at our induction ceremony this past April. His wife, Debbie, involved with these basic training centers that is the musculoskeletal weight resistance exercise therapy. Bill's worked with many sports teams, pro athletes, celebrities. Hey, Bill, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Dr. Bob, thank you so much for having me on today. We've really been looking forward to this. It's a great honor. And by the way, I'd like to congratulate you once again for your induction into the National Fitness Hall of Fame. That was a great event, and I was happy to be there and be part of it.
Yes, I'm still basking in the glow, Bill, with that. It's just a fantastic organization. Give us a quickie background of yourself and your history with health, wellness, and fitness over these past decades.
Okay, well, my story has to start in the little mountain town of Ouray, Colorado, up in the high mountains by Telluride and Silverton. That's where I grew up. And when you grow up in that kind of an altitude with those rugged mountains, fitness is incidental to the environment. And so I skied. I was an athlete. And I eventually found my way out to Los Angeles, and I got into the fitness business by way of a gym. And this is the olden days of gyms. This is when gyms were gyms. You had to go, you know, around the corner, down the stairs, into the dark alley, and there it was, hidden from plain view. And it was kind of almost a cult following. Exercise, weight resistance exercise, was frowned upon by the medical community back then. And only fruits and nuts did it. And if you exercised too much, your muscles would turn into fat. You'd get muscle bound. It wasn't
was
good
also
for you.
Frowned upon. Was also frowned upon by professional sports in so
oh,
many
absolutely.
Different areas. Absolutely. You know, the first strength and conditioning coaches in the world of sports were old, lifters and power lifters.
Exactly. And the coaches back then thought that it would degrade athletic performance, you would lose your flexibility and all of this thing. So, you know, it was really kind of going against the grain, but there was something that I liked about it. I couldn't really put my finger on it, but intuitively I knew I was in the right place. I actually had my friends and family when I first got into the business and opened up my first facility. My friends and family were saying, look, you're really making a mistake here. You need to get a real job and do something that's productive in your life. And then I got a visit from a very special character, a guy named Jack LaLanne, Terry Robinson. And they came in to see one of the new Nautilus clubs that I just opened up on Westwood Boulevard in West Los Angeles. Jack looked up at me with this big smile on his face. He says, you know what, kid? This time fitness is here to stay. This time it's really going to be here. It's got a future, and you need to stick with it. And that's what I did, and I haven't done
anything. Oh, yeah, Jack LaLanne, he's the guy who towed a ship with his teeth, I think, in New York. You know,
that's
we
right.
grew up watching the famous black and white Jack LaLanne on TV, and if he wasn't on, my guest a couple of weeks ago, Gilad Jankiewicz, was on television.
Oh, Gilad, yeah.
Yes.
Great guy.
Another great leader in the field. You know, so again, that whole area of training when it came to, you know, different sports groups. I know you were involved with the U.S. Navy in the development of some of their programs.
Right.
And tell us a little bit about Arthur Jones and his who personally trained you when the incredible world of the Nautilus equipment.
Yeah, Arthur Jones was certainly a character, and he was a major factor in my life and basically set out the course that I would follow professionally for, you know, the next 40 years. When I met Arthur Jones and discovered Nautilus equipment, it was bigger than life. It was so new, and it was so incredibly different from anything and everything that was out there in weight resistance exercise. And it was a game changer. And it was a game changer because it brought the masses into weight resistance exercise. And by the way, Arthur's son, Edgar, William Edgar, has just written a book about Arthur, and if you're really interested in who this guy was and get some real good insights, it's great reading, and I would recommend it to anybody.
But, oh, yeah, for the masses, the idea that there were machines that people could train on conveniently, that were actually enjoyable, was a big deal. This was different than throwing around giant dumbbells and different kinds of weight resistance machines.
Yeah.
And I know that you've been very involved in the world of some of the pro teams and athletes in the world of training. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, let me circle back to Arthur for just a minute. When he both of his parents were doctors. His mother and his father were both doctors. So he grew up with that medical background, but he was also a mechanical engineer, and he had great aptitude. So when he started bodybuilding, he noticed immediately that there were deficiencies in the strength curves of barbells and dumbbells. Specifically, the weight resistance wouldn't align with joints that were rotational axis, and there were weak spots. So he started to try to figure out how he could overcome this. He first started with chains, which are progressive resistance. The more chain that comes off the ground, the heavier it gets. And he eventually designed these cams that equalizes the resistance through the full range of motion. And that's what all the machines were designed around, is the cam, so that you have equalized resistance with full range of motion on all the different body parts. And they were safe and effective. And those same cams were used in the Medics equipment, which is the absolute state-of-the-art of weight resistance exercise. But as far as teams, you know, early on when I was developing my Nautilus clubs in Los Angeles, and we were at the point that was really the ignition of the fitness boom in Los Angeles. And once we met Arthur and combined the Nautilus machines with co-ed exercise and aerobics, we really had a tiger on our hands. And you had to be there to understand the full impact. But we had crowds, we had lines of people trying to get in, we had special athletes and celebrities that wanted to try the Nautilus equipment. And so I forged a relationship with some of the Dodgers, the Los Angeles Dodgers. As a matter of fact, Steve Yeager, who was the catcher for the Dodgers, and he was the catcher when they won the World Series in 1981, and he got MVP. He was training in one of my facilities, and actually he was a spokesperson for us. And so that led, you know, to other celebrities, other athletes coming in, other teams I've worked with. Minnesota Twins in 1991, when they won the World Series, I provided their strength training during their spring training, and they won the World Series. So I had two World Series teams 10 years apart that I was involved in, not claiming any responsibility. It's just a coincidence, but it was good to be there.
Well, I think, no, absolutely, you were a contributor, because the training of all of these athletes, even when it was very, very new, where there was usually, for the most part, then it was rehabilitating injuries and dealing with injuries. And then, like our colleague Bob Guida, my mentor in so many areas of sports medicine, got so involved in the world of, can I be a step or two quicker? Can I be bigger and stronger in all aspects of whatever the game is? You know, back then, those years ago, you know, the idea again of enhancing performance, the medical world didn't know how to spell it, let alone, you know, how to do it. And you take a look today, if anything, today it's overkill that we're so concerned about, overdoing it. What's the website people could find out about Debbie and your clubs with the basic training?
It's basictrainingscottsdale.com. And that website has links to our YouTube channel where I have a lot of instructional videos. It has a blog page on there, and it has a link to the Facebook page, which we're pretty active on. We're always posting, you know, things about training and the different machines that we have, and our medics machines, which are we're really happy and excited to have. People come from all over the world to use those machines. They're the gold standard for non-surgical rehabilitation of the lumbar spine and cervical neck. And I've seen those machines work miracles over and over and over again. People that were actually scheduled for surgeries have been able to cancel their surgeries because their situation was resolved with those machines.
Talk a little bit about Debbie's contribution to what you guys do.
Well, first of all, she's a lot prettier than I am.
I understand she really keeps you on the straight and sword and arrow.
She does. Debbie's a detail person. She runs her cardio program over on the medics side. She trains people on the medics equipment. You know, she's been working with me for over 20 years now. And she has a background in acting. She's a member of SAG and AFTRA, and she's been in some, you know, television shows and movies over the years. But we have her here, and she's a great asset to us. And she gives great tours. She softens up my rough image a little bit, and she is a detail person. So
yes, you have a good title. You have a good subject. You talk about musculoskeletal weight-resistant exercise therapy. That's a great combination of wording when you're talking about the health and wellness side and, you know, the mixture of therapy, physical therapy, personal training, all of that seems to be mixed in. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go back 10 years if you go over to radio shows, who was on, what were the topics. You could listen to whatever you'd like. You could zip over to newspaper articles and magazines. You could read my latest guest editorial with my latest sponsor, Lower Extremity Review. This fantastic magazine, LER, and read about the kind of teamwork that goes into all aspects of sports medicine. So many different disciplines, so much interaction. It's really the name of the game today. And you could read various articles, again, on what's the best shoe for your son or daughter. You could read one of my most infamous articles, which is Women in High Heels, Accepting the Challenge. We're going to be back. We're talking to Bill Crawford, fitness pioneer, musculoskeletal weight-resistant exercise therapy with his basic training centers. We'll be right back. It's The Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago, we're back. It's The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. We're talking to one of the pioneers in that whole world, Bill Crawford. He's a 2012 inductee into the prestigious National Fitness Hall of Fame. He was the master of ceremonies in my induction just a couple of months ago. You know, Bill has owned and developed fitness centers around the world. Basic Training has been in Scottsdale since 1997. Again, his wife Debbie is a big part of their whole operation. And we were just talking about the athletes. I know you've worked with some different celebrities, you know, dancers, celebrities today, Bill, being in top shape is a big deal. It doesn't mean you have to be an action hero, but it's a very, very big deal. Talk about some of the bullet points that you feel are crucial to your style of training in the world of musculoskeletal weight resistance exercise therapy. What do you preach?
I preach safe and effective, evidence-based weight resistance exercise, high intensity through the full range of motion with equalized resistance to failure. And when you hit momentary muscular failure or you pre-exhaust the muscle tissue, that is what promotes the growth and the response to the stress during the rest period post-exercise. So we're really, really intent on that, and we're intent on proper form. And, you know, it's great for celebrities and athletes, and a lot of times people will ask me, who's your most favorite movie star you've ever worked with? And you know what my answer to that is? It's the 90-year-old that everyone has given up hope on. He comes in a wheelchair. We get him up walking. We get him to use a cane. We get him to walk perfectly well. We get him to throw away all of those apparatuses. We work on his balance, and then we can prolong and promote mobility in his life. Those
you're not
going to
tell us
heroes.
What his name is?
There's lots of them.
Yes. You know, it's a big area. You know, you mentioned that, the 90-year-old. Fall prevention today is a big deal in the senior population. You know, you mentioned that, I remember with Nautilus, their claim to fame all those years ago, one set to failure. The ability of isolating various muscle groups and being able to train those groups safely through full range of motion, I think was always, you know, such a big deal in so many areas. It was so revolutionary, you know, at the time. And you mentioned proper form and technique. That's also such a big deal. And, you know, the relationship, again, of exercise and training and the medical world, how's that relationship been in your experience, Bill, you know, over these decades, that medicine has really woken up and paying huge attention to the value of exercise, quote unquote, I hope.
Finally, and it's been a long time coming, but you know, I always say if you could take all the benefits of weight resistance exercise and put them in a pill, you would have the wonder drug of the millennium. And we now know that this is an alternative medicine. And the main thing is it gets circulation into tissue, deep tissue, bones. We can build strength. We can encourage the density of muscle. We can reverse osteopenia. We can reverse type 2 diabetes. We can increase your mobility, your range of motion. We can straighten out skeletal problems, all kinds of things. It boosts your immune system. A lot of times oncology patients will come in here because their oncologist has said the one thing that you can do to help your body fight whatever is attacking it is to boost your immune system. And the best way to boost your immune system is weight resistance exercise.
Yes.
Now, the list goes on and on and on. You know,
yes,
as I do, the tremendous and infinite benefit of weight resistance exercise, not to mention what it does for your cardiac muscle.
Yes, and of course, the pearl from the sports doctor with my friend Bill Crawford is strengthen those lower extremities and feet and ankles. That's what got Guida and I together. Bob's tremendous value for the role of the foot, whatever your sport or activity was. And again, it was usually forgotten and kept in the background. He made such a big deal out of it. So that's our pearl for the day, is that we absolutely want to pay attention not only to foot-ankle strengthening, but balance work, stability work, and again, weight resistance. You know, it's come such a long way, baby. And isn't that ironic, Bill, that the new medicine today is eat smarter on the left and keep moving and do resistance training on the right. You know, the world of women exercise, they were always scared I do weight resistance. You know, I'm going to build these giant muscles, which was another myth. And again,
right.
You've been a big part of introducing all of that into that world regarding the safety and the effectiveness of weight resistance. So like you said, finally, the medical world has paid big attention. How about the youth and the sports world? Again, youth sports and that tremendous importance of learning the proper way of strength training in order to enhance whatever your sport happens to be, right?
It's true. And unfortunately, sometimes I see some of the most resistant pockets of ignorance still exist in athletic trainers in high school and collegiate sports. It's too bad because they have some of these kids doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and unsafe exercises utilizing impact force. And as
Bill is a 2012 National Fitness Hall of Fame inductee. He's one of the fitness pioneers in the whole world of training, whether it's for pro teams and athletes, whether it's celebrities. His musculoskeletal weight resistance exercise therapy, basic training centers. Hey, Bill, do we got you back? Do you include attention in the world of nutrition also, Bill?
You know, I am not a nutritionalist, but in 40 years, I've learned a few things. So we do give some advice, and some of that advice is eat a wide variety of fresh, natural, whole foods as close to the fresh, natural state as possible. The human body has thousands and thousands of years of compatibility with fresh, whole foods. When you deviate from that, I believe you're asking for trouble. Most of the people that come in that are concerned about diet, they have an overabundance of stored energy in their fat cell systems, and we help them calculate and find their caloric maintenance levels and come up with a sensible deficit that won't be harmful to their general health.
You know, we were talking before we left about, first of all, let's do that again. Give me the website people could find out about everything about your basic training centers and what you're doing, Bill.
BasicTrainingScottsdale.com. And that has links to our YouTube channel that has instructional videos. It has links to our blog. It has links to our Facebook page that we're very active on. We're always posting things about health and fitness and some of our machines and exercises. That's www.basictraining.com.
You know, you talked about something before we got interrupted, a big deal.
www.basictrainingscottsdale.com. Sorry.
Right. You know, we were talking about something before we got interrupted, which is a very, very big deal on the sports doctor, and that is the importance of youth sports, the challenge of overuse. It's one of the biggest reasons I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic, with a capital E, the epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. The pressure to play. The pressure to play hurt, that's not news to either of us when it comes to pro teams, serious athletes and celebrities. You know, Bill, don't you understand? Man, I got to compete tomorrow. I got to take whatever it is I need to take. And you were talking about sometimes the lack of what's important with some of the athletic trainers, some of the different coaches. Let's go back on that and see the kind of influence that you've tried to share with some of the different schools, high schools, colleges, with the things that you really stress in your long career?
Well, I've tried to stress that there is modern technology available now in the world of weight resistance exercise. And I don't like to see young people doing deadlifts. I don't like to see young people doing squats. There are machines out there that make those kinds of exercises safe and effective. Clean and jerks, I think, will destroy your shoulders. You know, the list goes on. And I mentioned previously that I have seen some of the most resistant pockets of ignorance that still exist with pro trainers, athletic trainers, high school coaches, college coaches. So we try to teach them and bring them up to speed with some of the advanced technologies that are available so that these kids can work within a framework of safe and effective exercise. In 42 years of training people, I have never produced an injury, not one single time. And I give credit to that to, you know, Arthur Jones and the development of his machines, which has given me a pathway to follow for decades, 40 years. and it's safe and effective. I have a smartphone in my pocket. If I wanted to, I could use a crank phone, but I don't want to use a crank phone because I want to use modern technology. Same thing is true with some of the barbells and dumbbells that are available out there. Those are prehistoric exercise devices from the dark ages. We've come so far down the road now. There are better tools available that are safe.
That's a major word, of course, is safety. And again, I used the term before, overkill, where we're really dealing with the year-round training, pushing many of these kids and athletes, the pressure of a scholarship, the pressure of competition. There's some great stuff going on. The highly competitive youth athlete is not for everybody, let alone the insanity of some of these sports parents and or coaches. Again, I call them Svengali coaches, Bill. We're just overdoing it and overpushing it. And, right before we were interrupted a little bit, we were talking about one of the chapters in my book that I make such a big deal out of, which is youth sports and drugs, and the pressure of these kids in junior high school or high school to rely on over-the-counter medicines and pain medicines in order to be able to participate. And this becomes a very, very big deal, with these kinds of pressures. So safety is a very, very big deal, especially if on the one hand we're talking about the importance of training, and then on the other hand we're finding out sometimes that there's such overkill. You know, when I take a look at some of these cross-training competitions,
terrible.
Some of these athletes, it's just nuts. They're the competitors, and but sometimes these methods are just overkill times 10.
Right, and one of the mistakes they make is they always think more is better. Well, we now know that exercise itself is damaging to the tissue. That's what makes it work. And if you deprive your body of the opportunity to recover from the stresses of the exercise, you're not going to get anywhere. So it's really important to stress and rest and stress and rest. So a lot of these coaches have these kids doing something every single day, and they're tearing their body down. Sometimes they're getting overtraining atrophy. The injuries are produced that way, and you don't have a chance to recover. So, the good news is, for all those people that don't like to exercise, hey, we agree with you. Weight resistance exercise is damaging to your muscle tissue. It's your body's ability to recover from that damage and adapt to the stress that makes it work. Therefore, you've got to know just exactly how much of this exercise to prescribe, and you must have the period of free space to recover from the exercise, or you're not going to get anywhere.
Right. You talk about the super myth, the more is better, more is better, more is better. So people ideally following some of your guidelines at your clubs, maybe they're working out 2-3 times a week and taking advantage of solid recovery time in between, Bill?
Absolutely. And we have the ability with the medical medics machines to test their fiber type, so we can see if they're predominantly fast twitch or slow twitch. And so a fast-twitch fiber person needs more time to recover. A slow-twitch fiber person doesn't need as much time, and their frequency for exercise can be greater than a fast-twitch muscle fiber person.
That everybody cares about, whether it's parents or coaches or athletes themselves. On the left, number one, can we prevent injury and stay out of trouble? And on the right, for those who are interested, is can I be a step or two quicker, be stronger, be faster, jump higher? Those are the two things everybody cares about, and that's what you guys are paying big attention to. It's great to see that these technologies that started those years ago with Nautilus MedX still a very, very big part of your world.
Huge part of our world. And while we're talking about athletic training, I'll mention something. It's a little still controversial right now, but we don't believe in functional training. In other words, we don't believe in putting weights on a bat or weights on a foot and practicing kicking a football or swinging at a ball, because that confuses the brain. If your brain becomes used to recruiting those kinds of muscle fibers with weights on, when you get out into the field and you're going to do the same movement without weights, the brain is confused and it can't remember if it's supposed to go hard or soft, and you lose athletic performance ability. So we separate weight resistance exercise from skill training. The weight resistance exercise takes place in the gym, then you use your coaches and your athletic trainers to train you in your sport and your skill. And we think that that works a lot better. A lot of new studies are coming out on that, and I think that they support that that theory.
Yes, it's one of the reasons that my friend Guy and I always loved rubber band resistance in so many different ways. It was a great addition and sidestep to some of the different skill trainings that might be done, as well as to some of the strength and conditioning, you know, that might be done that becomes so important, even again in the senior population, where, you know, again, we're so interested in fitness and wellness side. We want people to be able to age and still be able to be active as long as they possibly can. And, you know, weight resistance training is still such a big part. They say these super seniors in their 80s and 90s can benefit from safe weight resistance if done properly. True.
They used to tell us that you were predisposed to losing 2-3% of your muscle mass every year over the age of 50, and there was nothing you can do about it. We now know that that's malarkey. You can build muscle into your 90s, and that reverses so many of the problems associated with, you know, the geriatric populations and their deconditioning. So it's never too late to start. Never, ever. Just stay away from impact force.
Yes. You know, and the idea, again, today, for decades, we've been talking about the ravages of obesity, the nightmare of diabetes everywhere you look. And on the one hand, it seems that there's gyms or physical therapy groups on every corner, yet we're still dealing with this terrible epidemic of obesity, and exercise is such an important addition. And it's just great to see individuals like yourself who is still, you know, just making the point of how important this happens to be. So you're out in Scottsdale. Are you now in the one state, Bill? Where else are your facilities?
Right here, one place. They have multiple clubs, 400 employees, and now it's just Debbie and I working this one.
Slimming down. We're almost out of time, Bill. Give me quickly the website again. People find out about you and everything you do.
www.basictrainingscottsdale.com.
Bingo. Bill Crawford, fitness pioneer, National Fitness Hall of Famer. Thanks so much for joining me, Bill. Hold on real quickly. Hey, everybody. See ya. Catch you next week on The Sports Doctor.